Girls wanted, it declared, and then continued. Several girls, 18 years or over, for fine brushwork. This is a studio proposition. The work is clean and healthful, surroundings pleasant. Apply to Miss Murray, Old High School Building, 1022 Columbus Street. It sounded wonderful. One of the very first successful applicants was 19-year-old Catherine Wolfe. She was Ottawa born and bred, a devoted parishioner of St. Columba Church, which was located diagonally opposite the studio. She was a shy, quiet person who was very unassuming. The job at the studio would be her first, painting the dials of timepieces and aeronautical instruments. It was fascinating work, and the pay was good, she enthused, but every line had to be just so. And there was only one known way to get the necessary point on the Japanese brushes the size of a pencil that the Ottawa girls used. Miss Lottie Murray taught us how to point camel hair brushes with our tongues, Catherine remembered. We would first dip the brush into water, then into the powder, and then point the ends of the bristles between our teeth. The girls' instructress ate the luminous material with a spatula to show the girls that it was harmless. Charlotte Nevins, another radium girl, remembered, "When I was working in the plant painting dials, they always told me the radium would never hurt me. They even encouraged us to paint rings on our fingers and paint our dress buttons and buckles." Former employees report that the radium was handled carelessly. Washing was a voluntary procedure, and not many of the workers made use of the washing facilities. Why would they, when they could go home glowing like angels? The girls were the envy of others in the little Illinois town when they stepped out with their boyfriends at night. Their dresses and hats, and sometimes even their hands and faces, aglow with the phosphorescence of the luminous paint, a newspaper reported. Because of that glow, the women were humorously termed the ghost girls.
So the women in Ottawa are being taught to use the same lip-pointing technique that women in Newark, New Jersey have been using for a few years and are now getting sick and dying from. Interestingly, this technique was not encouraged in Europe. What were Americans being told about radium at that time?
Well, it wasn't just in America, actually, that they were being told this. This was an international craze. And what we were all being told about radium was that it was a wonder element, a cure-all. And so people could nip down to their local drugstores and you could buy radium tablets and pills and radioactive dressings. And people would use it to treat everything from hay fever to gout to impotence. There were also on sale radium jock straps and lingerie to boost people's sex lives. And the thing about radium was that it wasn't just seen as something that could cure everything. It was seen as an elixir of youth, and people took it as a health tonic in the same way that we take vitamins today, basically. So you could buy radium water. And in fact, the mayor of Chicago was one of those who had adopted the craze. And the recommended dose was 5 to 7 glasses a day of this radioactive water. And they said it would, you know, put a spring in people's steps. And radium users described the way that they could feel the sparkles inside their anatomy.
Oh, my goodness. Your book tells the stories of individual dial painters who slowly got sick. They complained about pain in their mouth and jaw. They began losing their teeth, then parts of their jaw, then their entire... Doctors couldn't figure out what was happening, as many of the women suffered terribly before dying. Mm. So these women started suing these companies.
Yeah.
And the Illinois Industrial Commission eventually ruled in the favor of the women. How did the case of the radium girls, as they became known, change laws related to employee protections?
This was a landmark legal case, And what the Radium Girls case did was to change not only law in Illinois, but also, you know, eventually nationally as well. People like Frances Perkins, who was the first woman in a presidential cabinet, took this case on. And when the Radium Girls won their case, she said, you know, the battle is far from won when it comes to workers' compensation. And so she and others built on what the Radium Girls had achieved. And eventually the kind of workers' rights legislation and rights that they established eventually led to the establishment of OSHA, which now works nationally in the United States to try and reduce deaths from work-related illnesses and injury.
It is astonishing to think, as you described earlier, that radium was once touted as this wonder material, even promoted as a health aid. When you hear about a new miracle of science or the latest amazing new thing to eat, apply to your skin, or use at work, how skeptical are you after writing this book?
Well, I think you do have to take things with a pinch of salt. The response that this book has changed in me is when a company says, we did nothing wrong, or, you know, they refuse to admit responsibility for something. That's now when I get very skeptical. And I think the behavior of the corporations that are described in the book, The Radium Girls, you know, what we see there in terms of callous cover-ups, in terms of blocking formal investigations and lying to investigators, we see again and again today. And so I think what the Radium Girls story is a timely reminder of the fact that we always need to be vigilant, not necessarily or always against scientific discoveries, but I think about the power of big corporations. And it reminds us that regulations are important, and it reminds us that we have to make sure that when we're giving power to a company, they can be trusted, and that we need to hold them to account if they can't.
Kate Moore is the author of The Radium Girls, The Dark Story of America's Shining Women. At WNIJ.org, you can hear her read another excerpt from her book. Kate Moore, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you so much.